Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program heard weekdays on 18 radio stations with 27 signals all across the Treasure State. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook at Voices of Montana and on the internet at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Does your local government work well enough for you, or work in the right sort of way? Is it right-sized for you, your community? If the answer is yes, how do you know? Or if the answer is no, then what are you going to do? This is the point, or one of the reasons, I think, behind what Montana has been doing here, and it's constitutionally mandated, Article 6, Section 9, a local government review. You're going to see this on your ballot. If you haven't voted yet, tomorrow's the primary, a chance for you to say, yes, we want to look at our city government, or yes, we want to look at our county government, or no. So what's all the yeses and nos? What's behind all those? I'm going to talk with Dan Clark today. He's the director of the MSU Extension Local Government Center, and we'll talk about government reviews today on Voices of Montana. The primary this week, it's tomorrow. A lot of folks have voted. I think typically we have 80, what was it? We're getting up to, I think, like almost 80% people are using mail-in ballots for the primary election. Still not enough people voting. I think we need to get those numbers up as well. But I'm curious about the June 4th primary, if people are kind of waiting to see, because it's a real crowded race over on the Eastern District side of things when it comes to the House of Representatives. Let's get on with this, though, because there's something else that's going to show up on your ballots that... And I have to admit, I kind of knew it was there, but I didn't put enough thought into it until I go, wow, what's this? Local government review, county government review. Yes, no. Do I want this? Do I not want this? I got to find out. Dan Clark is with us now, Director, Local Government Center from MSU Extension. Dan, good morning. How you been?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good, good. Is the experience I'm relating kind of common for people, do you think? What's this local government review? And it just, it's mandated, comes up every 10 years, but it sort of took me by surprise. So we got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, this is it's a unique thing to Montana, this local government review, for those that, and it only happens every 10 years. So those that have been around in the state for quite a while, they might, remember or recall it on the ballot 10 years ago. But we've got a lot of new folks that have moved into the state, and this is something that's unique to Montana that other states haven't participated or don't participate in. And this local government review is a chance to look at your local government's structure, both city and county.
Why would people want? Well, like I said, I think there's a lot of good reasons. And there's some yeses and maybe some good reasons for the no, depending on your community, I suppose. But let's get into that. This local government review, before we even ask the whys on it, what is it more? I mean, it's a two-year, so you're voting to approve a two-year commission. You're also voting to approve taxes upon yourself. Let's get into that aspect of it.
Yeah, those are great questions. The voter review needs to be funded. Because it takes a bit of energy and effort to conduct a good evaluation and examination of your local government. And so the local government is responsible for funding that review. And the law allows them to pass that burden of financing that the voter review to the voters with a property tax, a mill levy assessment. And so the local government can ask the voters, basically, if you would like to do this local government review, it will cost a certain amount of money. And that's what is going to be on the jurisdiction. Each jurisdiction will have a different amount of money, but that's what they're going to find on the ballot. I know the larger metro municipalities and counties are going to have a higher dollar amount because it's a larger, more complex environment, and there's more people to reach out to and engage with. And so it may cost that study commission a little bit more money. And the smaller jurisdictions may have a less amount that they're asking for. But by and large, we figure it's anywhere between $3 to $6 per month is what it would be, the additional cost. So about the cost of a latte at a fancy coffee shop is what it would cost you to fund this the local government review. Now, through our conversation,
for 2 years, though, just
to it as a vote.
I'm sorry, but just clear, 2 years. Just for 2 years, right? It's not a 20-year bond or anything like that. It's a 2-year increase.
No. Yeah, so your tax will go up. If it passes, they could make that assessment in this year's budget that'll be approved in the this summer. And you'll see that on your taxes in November. But it'll be a 2-year assessment. They will likely assess the full amount at this first assessment. Then they'll have the full amount of money that they can use to deploy it in the study.
Understood. Thank you.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And so so this will be an opportunity for our citizens in each of the cities and the counties. Now, those folks that are in the cities will get an opportunity to vote on both the municipality, should they do a vote, voter review or a local government review, as well as the county. And then the county residents will only vote on the county initiative, whether they should do the local government review.
Typically, the cost, again, Dan Clark is with us, director of the Local Government Center from MSU Extension, Montana State University, has been there since 2008 as well and been serving Montana since the 1997. So you've seen a few of these, and there's probably some examples that we can talk about here as well, still kind of going through the X's and O's of this. So the cost is going to be more in those larger areas, but I think you've noted in recent articles anyway that there's some of these smaller areas, Dan, that have seen a lot of growth, and so that's one of the reasons why you might think about examining your government, because it might not be right size now.
Right, and I think this is one of the reasons why the delegates in our constitutional convention. We're thinking about, you know, how do we have a more responsive and dynamic government? You know, it is not uncommon for a way in which voters can make a change to their government, but it takes an initiative and someone, you know, citizens to rise up and say, hey, this isn't working for us, and go through a petition process and force it onto the ballot. And it takes a lot of energy. And because of that, it's not common for local governments to change very often, because it takes the voters to really be aware of those opportunities and to initiate that change. And so I think the constitutional delegates, when they created our constitution, said, you know, we don't want to put the burden on the awareness of our electorate to force a change on the ballot and to know what options there are. But instead, why don't we create this decennial or every 10-year review that if we're not comfortable or happy or feel that there's opportunity in our local government, then we can at least have that the chance to pause and say, let's do a study. And if a local community, a city or a county is happy with what they have, happy with the level of service, happy with the structure and the responsiveness of their local government, then they can vote no and say, no, there's no, we don't see a need for a change. And some of these communities around the state or cities around the state have been fairly static, haven't felt these impacts of growth. They may say, no, it's still working for us. But other communities that are experiencing growth or change, they may say, this is a chance for us to evaluate and look at, is there an alternative form of government that might be better for us, that would be responsive or take on these challenges that we're facing and bring a level of, I guess, study and review. You know, I don't want to throw any elected official under the bus saying that they're not, you know, good at what they do, but there's something to be said about maybe bringing in a professional staff to help with some of these very complex problems.
Well, accountability is a big part of our public's responsibility, to government. So I like those things that do help us to be accountable. We'll talk about some of these forms of government as well, because that's, I have to have that discussion here as well. But I'm curious about, as noted, Montana's the only state that does this. And you know, the fact that we've got it in the Constitution, it seems to be so Montana in a lot of ways. Like, look it, if you like it, keep it. If you don't, dump it. why is it so unique to Montana, or do other states have a similar mechanism? I'm curious about how this got instituted here in the state.
Yeah, it's, you know, what is common in other states is that they'll do a constitutional review, that it's written into their constitution that a certain time frame they'll stop and ask the voters of the state, should we evaluate our constitution? And we as well do that in Montana. Every 20 years, we're asked that question, do we want to have another constitutional convention? But I think the delegates wanted to take that same idea and add it to the local governments. And because that is a little more dynamic, things change. And there's, you know, maybe opportunities that exist that local governments might want to seize. And so having this kind of Jeffersonian view of our local government is, I think, a healthy thing. And it's so, like I said, other states do a review or have a chance to ask their voters, should we look at our constitution, as does Montana? And I think we just took it a step further and said, let's take that same idea of a constitutional review and put it at the local level.
Dan Clark, again, director of the MSU Extension's Local Government Center. We'll find out more about what that does. Noted here is that Dan served as a mayor of Choteau, Montana for 4 years. You started your MSU career, or was part of that in Teton County for a lot of years there, Dan. And so thank you for being at that local level. So if this is just, hyperbole, so to speak, or hypothetical, if you were the mayor of Choteau at that time and somebody elected to do a government review, how would that make you feel? I mean, what do our city officials and county officials feel about this process?
It's a mixed bag. I was serving as the mayor of Choteau when the voter review happened in 2004 to 2006.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah. And so I left just before the city had adopted it, and then they went through a change. And so at the time I was for it. I thought there was some changes that needed to be made to our existing form of government that I was interested in and was in support of. And I know it's a mixed bag around the state, and some of it, some of the elected officials may feel it's maybe a referendum upon them,
yeah,
or a referendum upon their work or their efforts or service, and it shouldn't be seen as that, nor should the voters be seeing this opportunity to do the voter review as, say, a performance evaluation, yeah, on the elected official.
Yes,
it's not like an HR review of their performance. Really, it's looking at, in spite of any one individual in those offices, what's the structure of government? Really, we're looking at what is the executive branch? How do we go about choosing the executive for our community? And what should the legislative branch look like? And how do those two, legislative branch or the council, and the executive or the mayor or the city manager or whatever that form of government you choose, how do they interact? How do we share those powers and how are they separate? And so it's really looking at what are the lanes in which these different branches of government travel in, and where is their overlap, and how do we look at our structure of government and make it effective? And so there's good relations, good clarity between those branches of government.
Have a chance on your ballot to vote yes or no. I want to look at it. Doesn't mean you're automatically voting to change the government. You're looking at studying through your local government voter review. And that is city and that is county. We're talking about that today. Dan Clark, there's actually a center at Montana State University through the extension program, Local Government Center. Dan's the director of the program here. And Dan, thanks for coming on. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to think about when we talk about examining our government and our forms of local government as well. We kind of, and I like what you said in a recent Montana Free Press article, this is all an experiment. And I think it's kind of fun to keep that in mind, that we're not limited by the way things are run, the way things ought to be run. We're only limited by, you know, what's going to work and what's not going to work.
Yeah, and I think our history, the history of this is going to be the sixth time we have done this in the state. And so we can look back and see what has been done in other cities and counties over the decades. And there has been examples where a local jurisdiction, a county has adopted a different form of government, adopted a charter, adopted self-governing powers, and they tried it for about 8 years, and it was probably an idea before its time. And the voters were like, yeah, this was not giving us what we were expecting. And so they went back and changed it back to their regular structure that they had before. So again, it was a chance for them to try it on and say, would this be better in comparison to an alternative? And I think that's what is I'm a guy that likes my options. I like to look and this is a great way to explore those options. And the only expectation is that whatever changes you make, you have to keep them for at least 3 years. As the law says, you've got to try it on for 3 years before you can revisit and either change it after 3 years or wait to the next 10-year review to make that change.
Oh, that's interesting. It's something I didn't know. So the forms that we're familiar with, or at least in some form we think we're familiar with, commission executive or commission manager form. Talk about those. Where are those employed at? Where do you think they've been employed correctly? Or, what's the story behind a commission executive?
Yeah, so the commission executive is the most common form of government that we have for municipalities around the state. It's where you have an elected commission or a city council. They're the legislative body. I think one or two that have only three members of the commission or council, but most of them are four. There's a few that are larger, and the larger municipalities sometimes they have more city council members. And so they're elected bodies. They're usually either representing a district or a ward within the community, or some are elected at large. And then you have an elected executive or a mayor. And so the mayor is the chief executive, and they're the ones that execute the laws that are adopted by the council. And so that's a very common form, and it's usually found in the smaller to medium sized communities, where it's local folks in our community stand for election, say, well, I'll, some of them say, well, I guess it's my turn.
Right. Yeah.
Because there's not many people willing or able. And so I guess I'll do it. And so there's often reluctant characters that get into those positions. And some of them do fantastic jobs. They're committed to their community, committed to solving even problems that the citizens aren't aware of, that there's things that are that they have to manage and deal with in the operations and delivery of services in your community, from parks and recreation to maintaining the pool, to streets, sidewalks, to urban forest, water systems, sewer systems, storm drain runoff, garbage collection. There's a lot of things that are happening. These are the things that bring us all together in community, our common needs that exist. And that's what we elect people in our community to say, we want you to manage these common needs and common interests that we have for the betterment and benefit of our community. And it's just volunteers. They get paid. If they get paid, it's a very small stipend. And they spend a lot of time worrying about and thinking about and trying to make decisions on behalf of people in the community. And so I think it's a great structure of government, and and it really requires a collaboration between the mayor and the council and the staff. Some of them don't have very many staff. And so they're trying to solve problems. And how do we address the needs and concerns of an aging infrastructure and maybe different requirements that are placed upon us by the state and federal governments to meet standards? And how do we bring this aging infrastructure in compliance with these ever-changing standards? And so that's the most common form.
And then the other one, a commission manager form. So that one, I get there's the legislative side, which is the city council, then the executive side. So those are separate. Commission manager, about the same thing, except the legislative body appoints the city manager for executive functions. You mentioned a charter form of government. Talk about that one.
Yeah, so the charter is is a form of government that is only eligible for municipalities or counties that have self-governing powers. And so I'll just explain a little bit about the charter, and then we'll get into the powers and why a charter is only eligible with self-governing powers. But a charter is like a local constitution. Rather than having for many of the other forms of government, they're all spelled out in the state statutes. It explains, here's what a commission executive form of government or a commission manager form of government. And there's some latitude within that structure that has been defined to where it's like a choose your own adventure. You've got a menu of options and you can decide what options we want to choose. For example, do we want to elect our city council from at large or from wards? Do we want to have partisan or nonpartisan elections? Do we want to have the mayor prepare the budget and then present it to the council, or we want to have the mayor prepare the budget with the consultation of the council? So those are some of the things that there is a choice within the structure of government. When you create a charter, you don't have that strict menu to choose from. You're basically able to define what does the legislative body look like? What is their responsibilities? How are they selected? Are they 2-year, 4-year, 6-year terms? Are they elected at large? Or, you know, you kind of take all those options that are available and then they can assemble that in a charter. And the charter is superior to state law. So it can, except for the certain circumstances, but so the charter is like your local constitution. It gives the powers to the local elected officials.
I do want to talk about powers and I also want to talk about, again, why people would change. Because sometimes, bigger is not always better. Or if you're making it too complicated, that doesn't always work. But, mm-hmm. What works for small communities? What works for medium communities or large communities? And I suppose that's a little bit subjective too. I got just about a minute left here. I think there's one thing to finish up on, and that is a town meeting form, because that's a unique one that is employed in Pinesdale.
Yes, and so town meeting, that's where the citizens, the electorate, 10% of the electorate constitutes a quorum to conduct business on behalf of the community. So rather than have an elected city council, all the people in the community that are registered to vote, they are the legislative body. And so there is at least one mandatory meeting a year. They can call more frequently meetings if they choose, but that's where you have that direct democracy of one vote, one person. We all come together at the high school gym and we adopt a budget. We adopt any sort of ordinances or policies that might be placed upon all of us in the community. And you're not electing a representative, but you're representing yourself in that form of government.
Are you checking yes or no on a local government review question? You're going to get it from the county side of things. And if you're a big enough municipality, I think there's 127 of those incorporated across Montana. You'll get that city question as well. What's it all about? Dan Clark is with us to explain that. MSU Extension Local Government Center. He's the director of that center. Dan, thanks again for being here. Appreciate that. What's your center do?
So our center has been around for about 35 years, and we work with local governments, cities and counties, all the elected officials. We provide training and technical support for them, as well as special districts, so water, sewer, fire districts. We help and support them, as well as their staff. We do professional development for staff. So we're kept pretty busy trying to help local governments be effective in serving the needs of Montanans.
One of the things, and maybe we should get back into it here, but one of the questions that I have, as you mentioned staff, is that there's some conflict in at least in some of the city councils and some areas, maybe the larger municipalities, where they feel that the staff is doing it. It's kind of like, Washington, D.C., you get this legislation from the Congress, and then it's the EPA or the other larger administrations that, enforce those. Is that a conflict, or is that just kind of politics at a local level?
Yeah, I think it's always a challenge of how we try to translate visions, which is usually where the the city councils have a vision and an ideal what they would like to see happen, and then translating that into what is the actual product going to look like, or the policies how they're being implemented down on the ground. And so there are certain constraints that either money or, you know, certain standards, laws and rules that that the cities and counties need to adhere to. And so it's always that there's always a tension that exists between this is what I'd like to see and what can we actually do. And some of it is having the will to do it. Some of it's having the finances to do it. Some of it that we might not be able to do it because the law doesn't allow us to do what we'd like to do. So there is what I would say not it's a sometimes a healthy tension that that exists there. Yeah.
And it's governments get their power from the elected, so to speak. So what, you know, talk about these powers that we are empowering. Hopefully they're citizens, you know, hopefully they don't forget that they're public member of the public, just like we are. Talk about some of those powers.
Yeah, there's two types of powers that are eligible in Montana for local governments to assume. One is the most common, and this is what I would say the default power. So everybody in 1974, when we started this process, had general governing powers. And general governing powers are those powers that are granted to the municipalities and counties through the legislature, right? So the legislature defines what a city and what a county can and cannot do. And so if it doesn't specifically grant a power to a municipality or county to perform a function or provide a service, then the assumption is that they can't do it. And in our 1972 Constitution, in that Constitution, the delegates wrote in what's called self-governing powers. And this is, again, it's something that's not common. Other states have what they call home rule, but in Montana, it's a shared powers model, and it's unique to Montana again, which we like to do things our way. And so this shared powers model is where the local governments, cities and counties, have all power granted to them, including the powers that exist within general governing powers, and then any other power that they may choose to exercise for the benefit of the citizens, except there are certain things that are reserved for the state. And so that's that shared powers that the state has shared the powers with the local government, except certain things the state says, no, these areas we are going to reserve to us. For example, the state doesn't allow local jurisdictions to create their own, land use policies and land use ordinances, right? The state says, no, we're going to reserve that so that there's a consistency and continuity for land use decisions across the state. Mm-hmm. So as a developer, you don't have different rules from one town to the next or one county to the next, but some of those things are going to be common across the board. And so the state is looking at what is where the state has an interest, and we're going to reserve those powers. But outside of that, a local government can exercise those powers.
What prevents it from getting out of control?
Well, the public. And so usually there's got to be a need for the local government to say, hey, there's a need that exists that we would like to step into this space and say, we're going to exercise this particular power. So here's an example, the town of Saco up there on the High Line, that town owns gas wells. They own natural gas wells that are owned by the people in the city. And they deliver to their citizens in their community of Saco, natural gas as a utility, like water, sewer, garbage collection, but they also do natural gas. Now, if you look in the law, there's nothing in the law that allows a municipality to operate a gas utility. And so in order for them to deliver that particular service that made sense for their community, they had to adopt self-governing powers. So the voters of Saco voted, yes, we want self-governing powers so we can then create this natural gas utility and provide that service to us. Not every community has the opportunity to own their own gas wells. And so it doesn't apply to everyone. And the legislature is not going to provide that particular power to all municipalities because it doesn't make sense. But for a community like Saco, it makes sense. And so they were able to control their own destiny and exercise those local powers to solve or provide a service that they couldn't get otherwise, nor would any other community want to have that. There's other a handful of other communities that operate electric utilities. They have a hydroelectric facility that they have access to that they can generate their own electricity. And again, that is a service, a utility that is not granted by the legislature to a municipality to operate. So those communities had to adopt self-governing powers so they could deploy an electric utility. And there's other examples of communities that there is a need that exists. They say, well, we don't currently have that power granted to us by the legislature, so we're going to exercise that power through the ordinance process, which still requires the citizen engagement and conversation within the local community. Should we do this? Should we step into this space, operate, or exercise a particular power that we create as our own municipality? And so I think it's a great way for a local government to be able to solve emerging issues and challenges that they face and be nimble and responsive to those challenges through a political process and not relying upon the legislature to say, oh, there is a need that exists, because their concern is broadly across the state. Is there a statewide need? And if every community in the state had a need for something, they would probably adopt that and provide that power structure for those local governments to do that and exercise that in the general governing powers category. But if there's not that, you know, general statewide need, they're going to reserve that power and allow those communities to say, well, you have an option. If you'd like to adopt self-governing powers, you could exercise that unique power to do that or provide that need that that exists that is unique to you.
Dan Clark, again, Local Government Center from MSU Extension, Montana State University. He's the director there, been there since 2008, served in Teton County for a while as well as an Extension faculty member, and also served in local government there as the mayor of Choteau for a number of years. Just got a couple of minutes here, so sort of some final thoughts, but one thing we haven't talked about is this process. If people, and I'm curious, you know, is there a kind of a percentage of communities that generally do vote for this? Do you see like 10% or 20% across the state pick up some kind of review? But the process in and of itself. So, you know, what this primary does was set that process in motion. And then it's also going to it'll work its way back around to the November general election, Dan.
Yes. And so if those communities that vote, cities and counties that vote yes for doing a local government review, then after that has been certified by the county commissions through the electoral process, then that opens up the opportunity for people in the community, whichever jurisdiction is providing the voter review, to run for study commissioners. And so then study commissioners will be elected to then provide this or perform this study over the next 2 years. And as to the numbers that have participated in this, you know, in the past, there's been between 70 and 80 municipalities have participated in the voter review process. In 2014 to 16, the last time, it had dropped down to 39 municipalities and only 11 counties. So that was the smallest cohort by far in the 2014 to 16 voter review that participated in it. Mm. The original one in 1974 and 76, every city and every county participated. But since that time, we've had, you know, in 94, 96, about 36 counties out of the 56. So over half participated, and 85 municipalities chose to do the voter, the local government review. Now, to say that in some of these jurisdictions, the study commissioners that are elected, then they look at the existing form of government. They evaluate the alternative forms, and they engage the citizens in a big conversation in the community. And at the end of the day, they may say, you know what, we don't really see an opportunity for change that would improve upon what we currently have. And so many of those communities will either put no change, or they may propose a change that the voters will weigh in and say, yeah, we want that change, and they'll vote for it, or they might not vote for it. So there has been some level of dynamism or dynamic nature to this over the years. But I think it's always helpful to do, to at least pause and have this conversation, like in the ballot. This we'll all find out tomorrow. Is this something in some of these jurisdictions? Do we want to do this or not?
Yeah. Yeah. And so those results
need to hear.
It'll be interesting, won't they? Those results will be interesting. So I'm looking forward to that as well. Real quickly, if you got 30 to 40 seconds on this one, a study commission members, they're just going to be members of the public. Who can be a study commissioner?
Yeah, anyone that's eligible to hold office in the municipality or county can then run for to be a study commissioner. It's a nonpartisan election, and I don't believe there's a filing fee for that. So you can check with your election administrator or the Secretary of State's website to learn more about how to become a study commissioner if your city or county chooses to do the local government review.
Will members of the local government or legislators or anybody who's tied to an appointment with city government, are they eligible?
Current elected officials are ineligible to run to be a study commissioner in that jurisdiction. But staff members, there's nothing prohibiting the staff members from running. And there may be an issue of incompatible office if you already hold an elected office to hold a second elected office. So that that's could be a challenge.
Well, it will be interesting because there are, you know, groups out there that are pushing for this and you know, for various reasons. And so people will have, you know, agendas that they'll want to accomplish. And whether that works for you or not, Mr. and Mrs. Public, that's up to you to decide as well. And you get to do that tomorrow. So please get out there and exercise that. Dan, I appreciate that. I imagine we'll be circling back on this because there's probably going to be some yays. And then it'll be sort of interesting to kind of go from there, I suppose.
Oh, I'm sure. My life will be a whole lot different over the next 2 years as we try to help facilitate this around the state with all these communities and counties.
Well, that's good. Do good then, okay? I appreciate you, Dan. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yep. Dan Clark, again, Local Government Center, Montana State University, MSU Extension. Thanks again for joining us for the podcast. Please share and subscribe and let us know what you think. Email me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. And don't forget, we're on weekdays on your hometown radio stations all across Montana. We hope to hear from you there too.